Hey friends, let's go back to the 90s with our new book, Mixtape Theology, 90s Christian Edition. It's part devotional, part retrospective, and all awesome. Rediscover the wonder of songs like The Great Adventure and Jesus Freak as you uncover their spiritual significance. But you know, we couldn't just give you a book without some 90s Christian cheese. We've included some original comics and hilarious retrospectives. Michael Tate of Newsboys and DC Talk calls Mixtape Theology the ultimate nostalgic throwback, and Michael W. Smith calls it a great read. Mixtape Theology will have you falling in love with these songs and the gospel all over again. It's nostalgia served with a side of renewed faith, and it's available now at Amazon and Walmart.com. Now, back to the podcast.
Welcome to Mixtape Theology. This is the Mixtape Theology podcast. I'm Dr. Ashley, and I'm your host. Here at Mixtape Theology, myself and my partner, Rachel Cash, love to dig into 90s contemporary Christian music, look at some of our favorite songs, and really dig into the theology of those songs, as well as get a little nostalgic from time to time and think about the culture and what we were doing back in the day, and most of all, just focus on Jesus. I'm glad you've joined us for this podcast. And this is another podcast that we're super excited about as we asked some of our fellow Mixtape theologians, some of the followers that are with us on social media, to tell us their story. We wanted to hear from them and how 90s contemporary Christian music impacted their life. So that's what we're going to do today. Today, my guest is Matthew Hawk. How you doing, Matthew?
Hey, thank you so much for having me. Glad to be here.
Yeah, we are really excited about you being with us. And before we get into your story, just let our listeners know a little bit about yourself. What do you do? Where are you from? What's a little bit of your story before we get more specifically into the 90s contemporary Christian part of it?
Okay. Well, I currently am the evening manager at the Ronald McDonald House. Before that, I'm also a worship leader at a church. And before that, I worked in the film industry for a decade, as a musician, as a double, as an actor, as a stand in, all that good stuff. But I'm a huge fan of 90s Christian music.
Now you double as an actor, stand ins. Is anything that we would recognize that you doubled for? Is this like mainstream movies?
Oh, yes. I was Phoenix double in several of the Hunger Games movies. The last three.
I'm a huge Hunger Games fan.
Okay. Well, I lived with that trident in my hand from Catching Fire, Mockingjay 1, and Mockingjay 2. Cool. Yeah, I was in shape then, man. So did that, the Divergent series, if you're familiar with that. I was the double for Character 4.
Okay.
Just like the lead guy. Gosh, a bunch of different films out there. I got to play guitar in Pitch Perfect 3 for the Bellas.
Okay.
And just a bunch of stuff, man. I've done over 30 films.
And so you're a musician as well. You said you're a worship leader.
Yes.
So you're also a musician.
Right.
Are you still doing that? Are you writing? Are you singing? Or what?
Yes. Well, what's really funny is Hollywood, it's like, the movie industry it takes so much time and so much out of you. I had to stop doing my own personal music. Mm. But I had a son who was born a year and a half ago, and he had 3 open heart surgeries. And so I had to stop working in film to take care of him, which strangely enough gave me more time to be able to work on my own personal music again. So we just released a Christmas album, and it's actually it's doing quite well. It's out there.
That's fantastic. Yeah. I'll let you give your plug. Tell us about where they can find your music. That's great.
Okay. You can find my music. It's on all digital platforms. My website is MatthewHawkMusic.com. And so you can get it there. You can get it everywhere you stream music or download music. It's out there. So it hit the CCM charts this week. So pretty excited about that. On the stream chart. So
great. And I do want to follow up with, you talked about your son, 3 heart surgeries.
Yes.
What's he doing?
He is doing phenomenal. He's he's a little miracle child. And so, you know, he had multiple heart malformations and it was pretty severe. And he just, you know, we had so many people praying for him, and mm-hmm. God just really heard the prayers, and he's healthier than any heart baby I've ever seen. He's a big boy. He's strong. He's very active, and everything's doing well. You know, it's phenomenal. If you saw it, like, his heart was totally turned around. Everything was plugged into the wrong places. He had two huge holes in the middle of his heart. And I mean, the next step was a transplant, and they were hoping they wouldn't have to do that. And they didn't, you know. God was good, and the surgeons were amazing. And so there's only small chance he'll have to have another heart surgery when he gets a little older. So
I bet God has taught you a lot the last year and a half.
Oh yes. You know, and that leads into my current job, you know. So I was doing the whole Hollywood thing and traveling and auditioning, and then you know, my son was born, and I was like, okay, God, I didn't mention this. My wife almost died giving birth. She had an undiagnosed placental accreta, which is a very severe condition. And, 1 in 14 women still die from it. And that how God saved her is another amazing story as well. But so I was like, God, I need to be home for my family. So I was like, God, show me what to do, you know, open doors for me. And so we were living at the Ronald McDonald House while our son was going through the open heart surgery. So we were there for a couple months, and I'm a servant, and you have a servant's heart. And so I was always trying to help people there and doing dishes for the house and this and that. And, mm-hmm. and they were like, you don't have to do that. You're a guest. And I'm like, I don't care. You know, I just want to bless people. And in the end, the very last day, they posted for the management position. And I was like, hey, me, please. So I applied, and I got it. So now I get to take care of families very much like my own, you know, with children who are in critical care, children who are, you know, have transplants or cancer or heart surgeries. And so I take care of these families, and it's a true ministry. Wow. You know, I feel very blessed to be there. And then I just started for therapy, because, you know, we have kids who go through a lot, and it's very stressful. And I do what I can to love on the families and be there for them. But at the end of the day, there's a lot of tears shed, you know? So my wife's like, you need to see a therapist. And you know what I said to her? I was like, you're right. Music is therapy. So I started,
it is therapy,
I started writing and recording music again, and like my own personal stuff. And then I got blessed with an open door at a new recording studio in town. And so that's what led to me doing music again. It was full on my therapy after the stress of, you know, trying to help these families who have children. Some don't make it, some do. And it's very stressful. So so the music and the ministry, that it all goes hand in hand. Just being a light, man, whatever God puts you at, whether it's working at the Ronald McDonald House, loving on families, or whether it's the music that I do, it's all about just spreading God's love and God's light, you know? And that's what 90 CCM was all about, man. It was spreading his light and his love.
Yeah. You know, we haven't even gotten to specifically the impact that it made, like, you know, kind of your light bulb moment. And I want to ask you that, but this has all been so good. Sometimes God just takes us in a different direction. Even as we do these podcasts, and I love your testimony, your story, because, you know, when we find the Lord in the midst of our brokenness and our struggle, and he gets us through it. I mean, that even led to my own call to ministry. Like, you're going through it and you get to the other side, maybe you're still kind of in it, but you're like, all right, God, look how I was blessed and how you took care of me and how others ministered to me. Now I want to take my experience and minister to someone else. And that's a testimony that'll preach, man. That's, you know, so right. I appreciate that.
Definitely.
And thankful for what you're doing. So let's get into 90s CCM. How old were you when you discovered contemporary Christian music in the 90s?
I was a teenager. Okay. I grew up in a Baptist church, and it was a huge one, but I had never known that Christian music really existed outside of hymnal, you know? And, what's pretty cool is there was a Michael W. I was listening to secular radio. You know, I didn't listen to Christian radio. And there was a song by Michael W. Smith, A Place in This World.
Ah, classic.
And yes, and it came on secular radio. And I was dealing with a lot at the time. I was not doing well in school. You know, girlfriend issues, all other things in the world. Just home life issues. And so the song comes on the radio. And literally, it just spoke to me. And it was like, I felt like the Lord was saying, hey, is this what you've been trying to say to me? The words of the song. And I remember I was driving. I pulled over in my car. And I remember just breaking down and just crying and like, okay, God, this is exactly how I feel. You know, it's like, do you even hear me? Do I exist? Do you care? You know? And the next day I went and there was a Christian bookstore in my town. I'd never been in there before. Went in there, and cassette tapes were the thing at the time. You know, they still had CDs. They had CDs out, but cassette, like, I was old school. So I bought and it was on clearance, you know. So I bought the little cassette, the Michael W. Smith cassette of that song, because I wanted a copy of it. And then, and so I just, man, burnt a hole in that tape. And then, you know, there was that song, Alleluia, on there. And it was like the only worship song that I really had access to.
A lot of people have covered that, and that's become a song. I mean, we do that on Sunday mornings in worship here, right?
Right. So, like, that was like my first worship song encounter, you know, was on that tape, and I used to play that over and over. And so then I started going back to that Christian bookstore, and I didn't know any of the Christian bands at the time. But this is when CDs were like a new thing and they were a cool thing. And so all the cassette tapes were like on clearance for a dollar. And so I would just start picking up all these cassettes, you know, because I had this old beat up car that had a cassette player. So
now, do you still have those cassettes?
Yes, somewhere? I do. Right. I do. And you know what's sad is I tried to get them out and like a lot of them, like the internal parts have just like corroded away. And I was like, no, but I still have all my 90s CCM CDs. So
that's awesome. You know, back this fall, we actually had like a big church yard sale, like to benefit a missions kind of thing. And there was Stephen Curtis Chapman's Great Adventure. There was a cassette tape at the yard sale. So I texted Rachel Cash, my partner, and I'm like, you want me to get this for you? You know, I can get it for you for a quarter or whatever. She's like, you better get that for me.
Like, that's awesome.
You know, that's like a monument, right? And, you know,
it really is.
And she talks about how back in the day, you know, when it was either CDs or cassettes. But man, I used to read the liner notes and the words of every song. And you know, now in digital music, we don't really do that. But that was kind of one of the lures of that too. Like, I love doing that.
Oh. Man, that was the thing. Is like the kids nowadays don't get it. It's like, man, we'd buy that CD and you would open it up and just the smell of the paper, you know, the smell of the, and then to open it and to listen from the beginning to the end of the CD and read. All the liner notes, all the words, all the, you know, and see the graphics. And, you know, now it's like with all these streaming sites, it, you know, you don't like, it's not a whole album experience anymore. It's a real quick song here, song there, and you don't get all the artwork. It's not a, you don't get the full user experience nowadays as you did back then.
Now, you know, one thing to me that's kind of interesting in your story is, so you were, you know, so this is early to mid 90s. And so you were listening to secular radio. And I remember that album, Michael W. Smith had a few crossover songs. And, you know, during that time, Amy Grant was doing Baby Baby. And there was a few artists that were doing that. And some of them got criticized for that. But I think it's a powerful part of your story that God used that, you hearing Michael W. Smith on secular radio to work in your life and kind of open the door to that.
Right on. You know, and that's the whole thing. It's like, there's a lot of churches and Christians that want to keep everything in a nice little package, nice little box. This is a Christian thing, you know, but God, you know, we're not called to stay in a box. We're called to reach the lost, the broken, the hurting. And if music is your gift, then that's a great way to do it. Now there are those who, you know, 100% feel called to just stay in the church, especially praise and worship kind of thing. And I'm totally cool with that, but God can also, there are those that can connect with the lost and the broken and through music. And, like I'm a huge Switchfoot fan, you know, our whole household is, And man, I cannot tell you how many stories I've heard of people who are not Christians who love them and who listen to them and who've gotten saved through their music. You know, Need to Breathe is another one. Skillet is another one. You know, these guys, they just spread the love of Jesus to a lost, dying, hurting world.
You know? Right. You know, there was a time when I felt called into ministry those years. You know, I was in college and then started seminary, and I could kind of become the Christian music theology nerd. Like, you know, they're watering it down, and you know, but God does call each of them to something different. I mean, some guys are going to be like, I mean, you're going to have no doubt, and you know where they stand on every issue, and there's going to be just deep theology talking about Christ, and I love that. Those are a lot of my favorites. And then there are those that do have kind of a vision to reach another audience through crossing over, and their music is still solid. There's nothing offensive about it. And then you get the album, and there may be a lot of songs on there that, you know, someone heard one on the radio that they hear the gospel. And so I kind of had to, you know, evolve a little bit and see a place for all of it. And I don't know if you saw the movie, The Jesus Music. It even talked about that, how God used
it. No, I want to see that.
Yeah, it was really good. So Place in This World, what particularly about that song? I mean, yeah, that was kind of an anthem. You know, I think I heard that at, you know, Christian schools would use that as someone would sing that for their graduation. That was a big song back in the day. So yeah, we are there at that, you know, that vital time of life as a teenager, all these struggles, finding our place, finding our purpose. And so I guess you were kind of at that place, just maybe wandering and searching. And then you heard that song and the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart and you realized, hey, there's something bigger than a me that's wants to give me purpose and hope and life. Is that kind of where you were?
Exactly. And, you know, I had this hunger to know more of God and who God was and all this. And I had a friend, he was my best friend at the time, and he had some messed up theology. And he would tell me, he's like, Matthew, God's too big and to really care about our personal lives. God has so much going on already. He doesn't care about the little meaningless things in our lives and this and that. And that used to crush me to think like that, you know? Mm-hmm. So I kind of feel like that was even the Michael W. Smith song was even an answer to that. It's like, cause it's like, wow, okay, God, you know, there's so many people out there, and the enemy will try to lie to you and tell you that, you know, you're worthless, you're no good. God doesn't care about you. God's too busy for you. But the truth of the matter is, you know, we are all God's children and he loves us and he wants a relationship with us. And I learned being a father. I have several kids, bunches of them. And I learned through my girls that I have three girls and a boy, but I learned through my girls, you know, it's, I love all of them equally and they're all close to my heart. But there's one in particular that we have a different bond than I have with the other girls. And the difference is she is constantly wanting to spend time with me, constantly pursuing time with me, constantly being in connection with me. And it's not anything I'm doing. It's her constant pursuit of wanting that relationship, that bond time, and it's the same thing with our relationship with God. You know, God loves us all. We are the children of God, but you know, he wants us to pursue him. He wants us to build that relationship, that bond time with him. And so it's, myself, you know, and want to pursue more and more of God. And I realized that, you know, among the many, like the lyrics say, among the many, do you hear me? Like, yes, he hears us. And the more we speak, the more he'll hear us, you know.
You know, and yeah, and he wants us to pursue him and he is pursuing us. You know, that's really interesting what you said about being discouraged from your friend. And I think we all know people like that God's so big that, you know, what's he going to, us little humans, he doesn't have time for us, but God is so big. He's big enough to make himself small enough to be individually involved with every single one of his children. And man,
exactly
that. And he desires that. He loves us. Like he, just as you have that special relationship with every kid, God has a special relationship with Matthew. That's just God and Matthew. right. and with Ashley that's just God and Ashley. And he loves that. And and man, when you begin to find that, and, you know, we use the term identity in Christ. Galatians 2:20 is one of my favorite scriptures. I've been crucified with Christ, and I know
right. it's my favorite.
If I live in the body, I live by faith. The Son of right. God who loved me, gave himself for me. But like to live is Christ and him in me. And it's not just me giving Jesus my life or making him the Lord of my life. He becomes my life and gives me purpose right. and identity. And that's a life-changing message when you begin to see that God loves you and desires to be in that with you.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yes. You know,
and it,
go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just saying, and like I said, with my girls, it's like, I love all three dearly and I love them all the same, but yet you love them differently at the same time because they're different beings. They're different people, you know, and it's right. that's how God is with us. We all like, we're different people, but God, we're all his children and he loves us equally. So,
yeah. You know, and as I was thinking about your testimony, I was also reminded of, you know, a famous scripture, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, right. plans for welfare, not evil, plans to give you a future and a hope. And, right. you know, when we find our hope in Jesus, that living hope and our purpose in him, we find our place in the world, and our place in the world is to give him glory and to right. do what you're doing and minister to others and to walk with him and to enjoy his presence. And we're not just wandering. He has purpose for us here. And right. So thank you for sharing your story, because I bet there's a lot of people that are maybe wandering. And I want you to know, if you listen to this podcast, God has a purpose for you.
Right on.
Find your hope and purpose in him. And that is a life-changing thing when you find your identity in Christ, and he does that.
Exactly. You're quoting all my favorite scriptures.
All right. Well, now, do you still listen to 90 CCM? Like, you know, so would you like Skillet and Switchfoot and Smitty, anybody else?
Oh my gosh. I still love 90 CCM. I still have a CD player in my car, and that's what's on 90% of the time is, so I go through them all, man.
All right. So let me ask you
a lot of
this.
Great stuff.
So, yeah. I did this with my last podcast, and we're thinking we're going to do this with everyone. I'm putting mm-hmm. you on the spot. I didn't prep you with this.
Right.
Who are your top five?
Oh, easy.
I know that's hard.
Okay. It's actually, well, no, I mean, it's hard, but it's great at the same time. So in the 90s, these were my top five. I don't know if they're my top five now, but I still love the 90s sound of them. Jars of Clay.
Yep.
Delirious.
Okay.
Third Day.
Okay.
Well, I already said Jars of Clay, Third Day, Delirious. Switchfoot came around 97. So
that still counts as Audio Adrenaline.
Okay. Yes. Audio Adrenaline's there. And there was a band, they were only around for a short time, but they were called Burlap to Cashmere.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember them?
Oh, yeah.
So loved them. They were great. So that's my top five, probably.
Good. That's a solid list.
Yeah.
Well, man, Matthew, thank you so much for joining us, telling us your story. And it's neat to hear. You know, we found a lot of us have similar stories, even though there's a little different flavor to them, how God stopped us in our tracks and taught us something right. and it stuck with us after all these years. So
right.
We really appreciate you sharing. And I will encourage our listeners, go out and check out Matthew's music. Was it MatthewHawk.com? Is that?
MatthewHawkMusic.com.
Matthew Hawk, as in the bird,
right.
music.com. And you can check out his stuff. And so, yeah, I want to do that. And we're really thankful that you joined us today.
Oh, man. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me.
Well, we appreciate you joining us today. We hope for you to join with us again in another Mixtape Theology podcast. It is just great reminiscing and thinking about the music we all love and how God used it in our lives. God bless you, and pray that all of y'all have a great day. Take care.
In the middle of the storm, when the waves crash in, I'll get down on my knees.
The Mixtape Theology Podcast is part of the NRT Podcast Network. Find more Christian music-related podcasts at newreleasetoday.com.